Imagine you are a corrupt school administrator. It's just a normal Tuesday. And suddenly, an unannounced state official walks right through your door, demands your hard drives, and legally seizes your financial records on the spot.
Which sounds exactly like an FBI raid, honestly.
Right. But it's actually the reality for public schools under the 2018 Western Cape Provincial School Education Amendment Bill. If you've ever wondered how systemic reform works on paper, this deep dive is going to show you exactly how a government engineers institutional change. It's basically like reading the patch notes for a massive software update, but for an entire education system.
Yeah, exactly. And since education policy always sparks these really intense political debates, especially regarding public versus private influence, we should clarify that we are strictly looking at the legal mechanics today. We aren't here to take a side or endorse any of these policies.
No, definitely not. We are just decoding how this legislation fundamentally rewires accountability, governance, and daily campus life. So before we look at how these schools are run, we really need to look at who is watching them. That raid scenario I mentioned, it's not an exaggeration at all.
No, it's very real. The bill establishes this entirely independent entity called the School's Evaluation Authority, led by a chief evaluator. And they assess academics, leadership, and of course, finances.
But the wild part is, evaluators can enter a school totally unannounced. They can literally seize financial documents if they have prima facie proof of mismanagement. I mean, entering unannounced and seizing documents, that sounds more like a police raid than a school inspection. Isn't that, an extreme amount of power?
Well, I mean, the state sees that level of intervention as an absolute necessity. It definitely shifts educational oversight from this passive observation to active, empowered auditing.
So they want to catch the mismanagement before the evidence gets shredded.
Exactly. They are aggressively protecting vulnerable public funds. But tightening oversight from the outside is really only half the story, because simultaneously, they're opening the doors to outside help on the inside.
Yeah, the governance shakeup. The legislation introduces these things called collaboration schools and donor-funded public schools. This essentially allows public schools to bring in nonprofit operating partners to help manage the facility.
Which is a huge shift. And the most striking part is that these private partners are granted up to 50% of the voting rights on the school's governing body.
Wait, up to 50%? So it's essentially like a struggling public school bringing on a private nonprofit as a co-CEO.
That is exactly what it's like. It's an attempt to inject private sector efficiency and skills into public education, but, without crossing the line into full privatization.
But what happens when they inevitably clash? If it's a 50-50 split, that's just a recipe for a deadlock.
Right, well, they thought of that.
Yeah.
The tiebreaker mechanism is pretty brilliant. If there is a deadlock, the matter is decided by a majority vote of the parents present at a general meeting. So parents still hold that ultimate veto power.
Oh, wow. Okay, that makes sense. But this blend of strict oversight and flexible partnerships, it doesn't just stay in the boardroom, right? It trickles right down to the students and teachers on the ground.
Oh, absolutely. For instance, the bill establishes intervention facilities. These offer up to 12 months of therapeutic programs for learners guilty of serious misconduct.
And the key thing there is that after those 12 months, they actually must be readmitted to their original school. It's not just a permanent expulsion. But on a slightly lighter note, there's also a surprising rule for the
Oh,
adults.
yeah, the alcohol exception. The head of department can actually authorize alcohol on school premises for specific events, like staff functions.
Though obviously, strictly never during school hours.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
It just treats the staff like adults while maintaining strict boundaries around the learners.
I do have to point out a fascinating contrast here, though. The state is absolutely ruthless with financial mismanagement, like seizing documents without warning, but then they mandate a deeply therapeutic, rehabilitative approach for student misconduct. Are those two philosophies, at odds with each other?
It seems like it, right? But actually, the entire bill is built on this one shared theme of targeted intervention. Whether it's a failing administrative board or a struggling student, the ultimate goal is rehabilitation rather than simple passive punishment.
Fix the root cause of the failure, don't just put a band-aid on it.
Exactly.
Well, ultimately, this legislation represents a massive restructuring of power, accountability, and support within Western Cape schools. It really makes you wonder just how far this legislative software update can push the hardware before it becomes an entirely new machine.
It really does. Which leaves you with this important question to ponder. If a private nonprofit holds exactly 50% of the voting power in a state-funded school, At what point does our very definition of public education fundamentally change?